I'm really excited about this new study that we're doing.
A deeper life with God.
You believe it'll change your life and my life and our life together?
That's about seeing God's dreams come true in your life.
And I think it's going to have a really profound impact on our whole church.
Going deeper into our faith with God is critical for every part of our life.
A neat opportunity for us to not only study together, to learn together, to grow together.
We were created to do life together.
I can't wait to share it with you.
Every time I watch that video, I'm reminded how often I talk with my hands, right? If somehow you have yet to notice that in this video, you get one more week and then it's just going to bug you. But well, welcome to church today. Welcome to First Methodist. I'm so glad to be in worship with you. If we haven't met before, my name is Johnny Brower. I serve as one of your pastors here, so I'd like to welcome you, those of you that are here in the well, those of you upstairs in the Well Cafe. Pastor David, who normally preaches this service, is out this week. His grandmother passed away this week, and so he has been with them, and they've been preparing for those services and mourning and grieving together. And so he took the weekend off, and so he'll be back next week. And so be sure this week to keep him and his family in your prayers, if you would please. I know that they will feel that, and many others this week as they walk through their lives that can sometimes be full of turmoil and chaos. We just know that there are people suffering out there, and they would do well to have to be a part of our prayer. So I pray that you do that. We're continuing our series called A Deeper Life with God. So over the last 4 weeks, we've explored practices that nurture our spirit and take us into a deeper relationship with God. And the key principle that we have that has kind of undergirded this whole series is this: life is lived from the inside out. Now, I know many of you are following along with this series in your small groups or in your Sunday school classes. And this week in your groups, you went over the discipline of devotion. This week in particular focused on the spiritual disciplines and practices that allow us to care and strengthen that innermost part of ourselves, our souls, our heart, that inside part of us from which life is lived, from which life flows. So today what I want to do is I want to focus in on one of the essential practices of our spiritual life, and that practice is prayer. Now, prayer is a pretty common thing when you think about religion, any religion. Prayer is probably the most recognizable practice that is most associated with religious practice. And that's true for us as well. Philippians chapter 4, do not worry or be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Ephesians 6, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all types of prayer for all of God's people. Romans 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Turns out Jesus was a morning person, so way to go, morning people. Matthew chapter 6, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives the people that are there listening a model for prayer. It's a prayer that we pray each and every week in all of our services here. We just prayed it together. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's clear throughout all of our scripture, both Old and New Testament, that prayer is important. And it's abundantly clear as we look through the New Testament that prayer is a vital part of the spiritual health of the Christian. So what I'd like to do today is talk just a little bit about prayer. Now, there is way more than just a little bit to be said about prayer. There's enough books and writings on prayer that can fill an entire library. There are many ways and means for prayer, and we could easily here at the church spend an entire year preaching on prayer, and we'd never cover all of it. So what I want to do today is I want to highlight one aspect of prayer. An aspect of prayer, part of our prayer life that I feel like is often overlooked. It's often overlooked, but it is critical. It is critical to the health of our relationship with God and the health of our souls. So what I want to do is talk a little bit about that and then bring a few practical ways of practicing this aspect of prayer. For those of you that maybe have been practicing it already and looking for new ways to engage it, or maybe for many of you in this room and upstairs that this may be something completely new for you. So we're going to start with this truth. We'll get there in just a minute, if that's enough of a teaser for you. We're going to get there in just a minute. We're going to start with this truth, that prayer is an essential expression of our relationship with God. Something that we would all kind of believe to be true. But I want to take that a step further, and I want to make a bold claim that prayer is the essential expression of our relationship with God. The, kind of putting it above all other things. This is the essential expression of our relationship with God. John Wesley, you may have heard of him, Anglican priest and founder of the Methodist movement, said this, lived in the 1700s. He put it this way, that prayer is as necessary to the soul as air is to the body. I want you to rest on that statement for just a minute. Prayer is as necessary to the soul as air is to the body. That means without prayer, that our soul cannot survive. Now, saying prayer is essential, this statement should not surprise us, because we know that nurturing relationships, right? Nurturing relationships requires us to spend time together. We know this to be true in our marriages, in our family, with our friends. And the same is true for God. It shouldn't surprise us that our relationship with God parallels in many ways, in significant ways, our relationship with others. Just last week, Pastor David said that our relationship with God has the same dynamics as our relationship with others. Prayer is essential because it is nurturing that relationship. We must spend time together. And prayer is essential because without prayer, we run the risk of knowing a lot about God, but never actually knowing God. And that could be a really convicting statement for many people. I know it was for me. Without prayer, we run the risk of knowing a lot about God, but never actually knowing God, because prayer is engaging God's presence. So if we never actually engage God's presence, we are left with only information about God. Now, I know some of you that are in church today are familiar with this term called Facebook creeping. Anybody heard of it? Don't raise your hand if you do this. This is not... Our purpose today in church is not to out you on your Facebook creeping ways. But for those of you that are here that do not know what Facebook creeping is, Facebook creeping is scouring somebody's Facebook page, their profile page, looking at their posts, at their pictures, etc., and trying to gather intelligence, trying to gather information about a person so that you can know about them, right? I mean, that's the nice way of saying it. It's really so that you can judge them and gossip about them later. It's really not in an effort to know them. But while we can get an idea of who a person is by looking at all that stuff, by seeing pictures and posts, and you can kind of get a sense of who this person is, you can gather a lot of information about them, you can't really know that person until you actually interact with them, right? And often, if you've done the Facebook creeping and then you interact with that person, you find that some of those things that you thought, some of the judgments that you made, may not actually be true. So we know that the true measure of somebody is being around that person, actually interacting with them and spending time with them is how we get to know them. Without prayer, we're basically just Facebook creeping God. Now, out of all the smart theological things I will say this morning, I know that's the one that's going to end up like on social media today, but that's okay. That's okay. Whatever it takes, right? Without prayer, we're just Facebook creeping God. We're just gathering a bunch of information and intelligence, but we're never actually spending time with God. Now, don't get me wrong. Knowing about God, learning about God helps us to actually know God. It helps us to know God. But if we never spend the time with God, if we never open ourselves up to God's presence, we can never have that full life. We can never have that deeper life with God that we desire and that God desires for us. So what is prayer? We know now that we want to have this prayer life, right? We want to interact with God. But what actually is prayer? I think most of us would describe prayer as a conversation with God. a conversation with God. It's a kind of a natural way of understanding prayer. After all, we did just mention that our relationship with God parallels in many ways our relationship with others. And so a conversation is a natural and simple way to describe prayer at its most basic level. But there's a problem. What happens when that conversation becomes one-sided? What happens when we want to have dialogue with God, but it turns out to really just be a monologue? When instead of talking with God, we're really just talking at God. This is a struggle I had in my prayer life for a long time. I never understood that aspect of prayer. I just knew that I was supposed to ask God for things, right? I bring God my stuff, and God was kind of like this genie or a drive-through window, right? And I'd pull up and like, hey, God, I'm struggling with this. I need an A on this test, and thank you for this great weather, and see you later, you know, like pull through, right? And God would take care of it and hand me my order, and sometimes they get the order wrong, right? Like, God, I didn't get an A on this test. What the heck? I know I didn't study, but what the, you know, you were supposed to come through for me on this one. I don't want you to misunderstand me here. There's nothing wrong with supplication. There's actually, Jesus tells us and encourages us to ask for what we need. Luke chapter 11, you can find that there. To go to God in faith with the things that we need. Paul tells us, we just read this a minute ago, to worry about nothing, be anxious about nothing, but instead, by prayer and supplication, bring your requests to God. God is there for us, and we can bring our stuff to God. But if this is the only form, hear me now, if this is the only form that our prayer takes, we'll begin to sense that something is missing. And a critical component, because a critical component of our communication with people, with God, is listening. So a critical component of prayer is listening. Listening is a critical component and should be the first component of our prayer. I think we often get this backwards. We go to God with our stuff first, and then maybe we'll wait and we'll listen to God. But really, we got to get things off our chest first. If we look at the way we develop our speech when we're young, we don't come out of the womb just talking, right? We spend most of our developmental period listening, hearing speech. We listen first, and then as we learn how language works, then we begin to speak. I think that order works similarly here. I think it's applicable here in our prayer life, that our hearts are first touched by God's Spirit, that we listen. We first know God as real and present in our lives, and then we speak. But listening is hard. Talking is so much easier, for me anyways. That's why I'm a preacher. They just give you a microphone and you get to talk all you want, right? Talking is so much easier than listening, because talking means I get to say whatever I want, whatever's on my mind, whatever I think, right? It's about me. Listening requires me to abandon anything that I'm thinking, anything that I want to say, and really focus in on what the other person is saying. Not just sitting around waiting for my turn to talk, right? Not waiting my turn, but actually engaging that voice, listening to it, absorbing it, and then responding to what is said. Listening is so much harder. It's hard for me because my mind always seems to be pretty preoccupied, right? Amen. Like my mind is always preoccupied. There's no room in there for anything else. So it's really hard to quiet my mind and to listen to other things. Has anybody here ever tried to listen to somebody when they're talking to you, but you're doing something else at the same time, right? Yeah, it's really hard. You have that embarrassing moment where they ask you a question, and it's kind of quiet for a minute, and you go like, oh no, they asked me something. Like, I'm sorry, say that again, right? Like, you know, all the husbands and wives are like elbowing each other right now. Like, maybe you've been on the other side of that, right? Where you're saying something, and it may or may not be important, but you're saying it in order for this person to hear it. And it feels like you're just talking right into a brick wall, right? Eyes are just glazed over. They're looking at something else. They're thinking about something else. And the parents of teens in here, anybody know? I have a 5-year-old, and if the TV's on, like, forget about it. Like, they're not, you know, they're locked in, and you have to, like, stand in front of them, right? Stop looking at Paw Patrol and look at me, right? They get focused in, right? How about this? Maybe somebody can identify with this. Have you ever been driving around somewhere and you had to turn the music down so you could see better? Right? Like, you're trying to get somewhere, and you got, like, Siri's telling you what to do on the phone, and, like, the music's playing, and, like, you're looking around trying to find this road, and, you know, people are yelling in their car, and you're like, everybody just be quiet so I can see, right? Like, because it requires your attention. It requires your focus. To give attention to something, if you give attention to one thing, it decreases drastically. Drastically decreases our ability to give attention to anything else, right? Our attention, our focus is a zero-sum game. You can't give 100% of your attention to one thing and then also give 100% of your attention to something else. It doesn't work like that. It's a pie chart. So whatever percentage goes to one thing, you only have a certain percentage left to give to something else. You don't get a second pie, right? You have one attention. And to give it to one thing, that means you have to stop giving it to other things. But that's hard. Our lives are busy. There's lots of demands on our life. There's a lot of noise and busyness in our life. And because of all that, it's no wonder that it's hard to be still and listen to God, even for a minute. I'm taking a class right now in seminary where we talk about and learn about the theology and practice of the spiritual life. And every class period, we begin with some deep, extended periods of prayer, right? Mind you, this is an 8 a.m. class. Now, luckily, I'm a morning person, right? And so I'm just trying to be like Jesus, y'all. And so at 8 a.m. every morning in this class, as it gets going, the professor asks us to clear our desks, to put everything away, make sure your phone is silenced, and what we're going to do is spend some time in prayer. And so he tells us to bring our attention to God. We sit in silence for just a minute, and then he'll read a piece of scripture, he'll read a poem, a song lyric, or a hymn. And after he's done reading it, he gives us an extended period of silence to sit with that. To sit with that and to sit with God. Now, I really appreciate this time because it's kind of forcing me to have that moment of silence, right? It's really providing a space for a grade to be quiet and to pray. But I have come to really appreciate that time. But something happens without fail every class period. We sit in silence. The professor reads the piece that's going to focus us, and then we sit in silence. And though our desks are clear, everything is put away, and our phones are silent, what do I hear? It's funny how a silence phone really isn't silent, right? In this midst of trying to clear away space and to be quiet for just a minute and just still and to leave behind everything that demands our attention, those things cry out to us. Don't forget me. You know, I hear the buzzing and I immediately snap out. Is that my phone? You know, is that some calendar event? Is it reminding me? Why would I have scheduled something over class? That doesn't make any sense. Is that a text message? I wonder who it's from. I wonder if something's wrong. It calls to us. The noise, the busyness, the world cries out for our attention. And then we want to give it to it. Listening requires all of our attention. And that means that doing the really hard work, the really hard work of being still. Something that we're not used to now. Something that we don't really like to do. It's kind of counterintuitive, but being still. Being in stillness just for a moment, that means we're able to quiet the noise in our life. We're able to abandon our agenda. Just long enough to pay attention. To hear. to make room for God's presence, to flood our spirits, and to speak to us. Stillness means that we must not only quiet the external noise, right? That's immediately what we think of when we think of stillness and quiet. We think of that external noise, but also that internal noise. Our minds are just racing all the time with our things, but we have to quiet that noise, quiet anything that has to do with us, with the self, right? Put it aside. Now, I want to keep reminding you throughout this that there is a place in prayer for our things, for our list, for our stuff that we need to bring to God. There's a place in prayer for the talking that we are going to do. But in stillness, in order to hear God's voice, when we listen, it has to not be about us and our stuff. It has to be about God and God's stuff. In order to listen, we must empty ourselves, abandon ourselves, our lists, our things, our wants, our hurts, our desires, our past, our future, and just simply be present with God in the stillness. Now, that may sound like when we abandon our things and when we empty ourselves, that's really diminishing our soul, right? But in fact, it is not. When we do that, it doesn't diminish our soul. It actually strengthens it and enlarges it and enriches it. Emptying ourselves in stillness before God makes room for our lives to be filled with His presence. Let me say that again. Emptying ourselves in stillness before God makes room for our lives to be filled with His presence. When we're able to, just for a minute, quiet that noise in our minds and abandon those demands, we open ourselves up. We make room for God. And He fills us with His presence. And the more time we get to spend in God's presence, the more we begin to know God. And the deeper our relationship with God goes, and the fuller our life becomes. Now, I know for a lot of you that are here and hearing this, you're thinking, yeah, I get that. You can remember the time in your life when this clicked for you. And you began to try it, and it revolutionized your prayer life, and it deepened that relationship with God. You know this to be true. So you're nodding along, you're getting it, right? Others of you in this room, you're thinking, man, Either you've never heard this before, or maybe you have, and you just have no idea how this works, right? You can't imagine being still for even a minute, right? For some of you, as you've grown and you've matured in your faith, you've matured in prayer and you've gotten this listening thing. For others, you're like, I'm growing in my faith, I'm doing these other things, but man, listening, being still, pray, I don't get that. I've tried, but it just doesn't feel like it's working. I don't think I'm doing it properly. So what I want to do today is just offer a couple things, right? A couple things to keep in mind and a couple practices, practical ways to engage this act of listening, right? So for some of you that have been doing this for a while, maybe this is something new for you to try and to another step for you, another way of doing this listening thing. For others of you, this might be that first step, the first step in kind of moving away the cloud of mystery around what it means to pray and listen. So here are a few things. The first thing is this, to remember He'll never let me live that down. To remember Pastor David's... Oh, man. Amen. We're out of here. Remember Pastor David's four steps from last week in enhancing our relationship with God, really. Our time that we spend with God. The four steps, if you missed any of this, you can find that sermon and all of our sermons archived on our website, First Methodist Mansfield. I encourage you to either, if you haven't heard it, to go check it out, or if you want to revisit it, to do so. But he said this, to first establish a time, to pick a specific time, establish that time as a sacred time, to set aside a place, to set aside a specific place for us to be with God. And I want to add something to that. When we set aside that place, to also set aside our phone. Now, this is my best friend, right? And it is my greatest ally in this world. Now, it tells me where I need to be. and where I need when I need to be there. It helps me to remember those things. It's a way for me to connect with family and friends that are all over the place. It is a source of entertainment. It is all things. It is a wonderful tool, and it is my greatest ally, except when I sit and try to be still and silent and present with God. Then it becomes my greatest enemy. Because it wants to help. It really does want to help me. But often when I'm trying to be still and present with God, it ends up hurting me. So when I set aside that time and I set aside that place and I am committing myself to be with God and to be still and to be quiet and to listen to God, my phone needs to go sit in timeout somewhere else. I'll be back and we'll be cool, but you just need to go away for a minute to set aside a place. The third thing is this: to be consistent. To be consistent. Whatever consistency looks like, whatever that, you know, all of our lives have different schedules and different demands on it. And so consistency and those times and those places look different for all of us. But that's unique to you. Being consistent, though, is important. It shows that it is a priority for you to be consistent and to seek it out and to do it. And then fourthly, to remember grace. Our relationship with God is founded on grace. Right, so we have to give ourselves grace when we seek these practices, because it won't always go the way we planned, right? For some of you, you're going to choose, like Jesus, to wake up early in the morning and do your prayer and listening, right? It's okay if you're not a morning person. Like, you can be like Jesus, too. I'm just making jokes there. So, but when you wake up early in the morning, you decide this is going to be your time that you're going to set aside and your place that you're setting aside, right? And you wake up and you're sneaking through the house so you don't wake up the kids, and you're going to go into that place and you're going to sit and you're going to be still. And then all of a sudden you hear their door open and they come out like banshees, right? I got to go to the bathroom and I'm hungry. La, la, la. And like there it goes, right? Like just poof into thin air. Like there goes your quiet time. There goes that listening time. God's not up there like tapping his foot like, you know. Like, give yourself some grace, right? We're going to mess it up from time to time. We're going to forget from time to time. We're going to oversleep, or we're going to, you know, go to bed too early. I don't know how the not morning people do it. But, there's going to be times where it just doesn't go according to plan, right? And there's going to be times, because this is a hard practice, there's going to be times, the first few times, where this is going to feel like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. I don't know if I'm feeling what Johnny was talking about. But to give yourself some grace, and not throw the whole practice out because it doesn't work one time or because you mess it up one time. To give yourself some grace and stick with it. Here's the other thing. Just shoot for once a week, right? We pray in all ways and at all times, right? We pray before we go to bed. We pray before our meals. We pray at church together. We pray when something bad happens, or we pray with somebody when they're in need of healing. We pray during joyous occasions. We pray a lot and all the time, but listening, like I said, is sometimes overlooked, and it can be hard because we don't know how to do it. So if you're beginning this listening thing, shoot for once a week, one of those prayers a week. I want you to set aside 10 minutes, 10 consecutive minutes of listening, of being still. That's the challenge, to try that for this first time, to set aside 10 minutes. That may seem like a lot. 10 minutes of sitting still and being quiet, for some people, that's an eternity, right? It's really 0.1% of your week. And I don't say that to make you feel guilty, but if it does, you know, like 0.1% of your week, where you set aside that time, you'll have all the other prayers. But if this is new to you, to try it out, right? 10 minutes of your time, once a week, to sit and be still. Now, here are the two ways, because you're thinking, okay, now I got it. I know the 10 minutes that I'm going to set aside. I get it. I got the four steps down that Pastor David told us. I'm ready, right? Then what do I do, right? Is there some special way I sit? Is there some God antenna that I put on my head, like to where I can hear? How do I hear? What am I listening for? How do I do this? You're thinking about that time. You're thinking, I don't know how to get my mind to stop moving. If I sit in stillness and quiet, my mind is just going to race. How do I get it to shut up for 2 seconds, right? So that I can hear God. Here are two ways, two really practical ways to help us focus our attention, right? Because often we sit in that stillness and our attention will start darting off these other ways. Here's how we maintain our focus. Now, there are many ways to do this, but here are two ways that I've found that really help me. The first one is this, to repeat truth. To repeat the truth of God to ourselves. So what you do, when we search our scriptures, when we're reading our Bibles, when we read it in church, when you read it through the GPS, if you subscribe to that, our daily Bible reading devotion that can come through your email, if you do any of those things, you'll come across truths of God's character in the scripture. You learn something about God. You know something about God. And when we sit in the stillness with that simple truth, it imprints that truth on our souls. We get a picture of God's character so that when we sit in stillness with that truth, we learn how to recognize God. We recognize God in the stillness. Here's an example of this. So if you were reading your scripture, right, and you happen to be reading in the Gospel of Luke, and you come across Luke chapter 17, verse 21, you would find contained in that verse, this isn't the whole verse, but you would find contained in that verse these words, "The kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is within you. And so when you sit in stillness for that first time, when you sit to be quiet and your mind is racing, you repeat that phrase to yourself, "The kingdom of God is within me." And you sit, and you be still with that truth, not in an attempt to understand that truth, not to dissect it theologically, but to claim it. The kingdom of God is within me. And every time I feel my mind racing off to somewhere else, I remind myself, I refocus myself, the kingdom of God is within me. I let that truth speak to me. I let it imprint on my soul, and I begin to recognize God's presence in me because of that truth. Repeat it as often as necessary. Number two, this is another helpful, and this one for more of you visual learners with really wild imaginations, this is the one that's actually the most helpful for me too. So if you're a visual learner, this is going to make total sense to you. If you are not, this is going to sound ludicrous to you. So that's okay. You got the first one, right? Here's the second one. When you sit in the stillness and quiet, I want you to imagine, with your eyes closed, you imagine you and God going on a walk through your soul together. That helps me to focus when I begin to picture me walking alongside God. And we're walking through my soul, and as we're walking, I'm just listening to that wisdom. I'm listening to God as God points out things in my soul, as God encourages me, as God challenges me. When God and I go on a stroll together through my soul, I learn things not only about God, but I learn about myself. These are two ways. These are not the only ways, but these are two ways to help us get started. And these will be difficult at first, right? Being still is hard at first, so don't get discouraged. I want to encourage you with that. But it gets easier the more you do it. It's kind of why they call it a practice, right? When you practice some skill for the very first time, you're very rarely good at it from the beginning, but the more you practice it, the better you get. But remember, the goal is not to master prayer. There's no medal or trophy for being a really good prayer one day when you reach a certain level, right? The goal is not prayer. The goal is the deeper life with God. But we understand prayer to be that essential component, the essential expression of our relationship with God. So as we mature in prayer, we go deeper with God. And that is the goal. Prayer is our conversation with God. It's the critical practice in our relationship with God. But it requires listening. And listening requires us to make room in our lives for God's voice. So when we regularly make room in our lives and in our hearts, we'll find a new level of relationship with God, a deeper life. My hope for all of us here is that we can find that space, that we can make room for the still small voice of God to speak clearly to us, and that we remain open to the new things that God will reveal in that stillness. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for your presence with us here. We pray as we go from this place that we remember the truth that, God, that you dwell in us. And as we go from this place that we are committed to seeking you in the stillness. We are so thankful, God, that you desire to reveal yourself to us, even more so than we desire to know you, God, that we must seek you. And as we sit in that stillness, God, as we listen for your voice, we pray for clarity as we know more of you and as we know you more. In your name we pray. Amen.